What's up? Happy Memorial Day to all of the people who have served and made this country an amazing place for us to live. Happy Memorial Day. Hi everybody. Happy Monday as well. Hope everybody had a wonderful holiday weekend. We're gonna be talking Happily Ever After today. I'm sorry, episode 11 of Happily Ever After. Hi Judith, hi Eileen, hi Yazan, hi Tracy. Just waiting on my girls to get here, Cara and Didi. And we're gonna get started, y'all. We're a day late, but we took a day off for the holiday. I hope everybody enjoyed your barbecues. You thanked the veteran today for and we honored the veterans who served and made our world a better place, the country that we live in today. Hi, everybody. Tina, hi Tina. Hey, waiting on the ladies to get here. I don't know where Dee Dee is. I just got a text from her, but I don't see her here. Weird. Yazan, how are you? Yeah, we're gonna be talking Happily Ever After. And I want to get into the stuff that happened with Michael because I want to know if anybody's opinion of the situation changed. Because, we got a little. I want to give every side of it, and I want to see how people really feel. Did your opinions change at all? Is this something new? Oh, the ladies are here. My dream team is here, guys. Cara and Didi are here, so we're gonna jump right in. Hey,
Hi.
how are you?
Good, how are you?
Trying to stay dry. We got some bad weather. How about y'all?
Oh, it's really hot. I just got back from Universal, and it's like 90 something, almost 100 degrees.
It is.
It was fine though. I'm fine. I can deal with it, but someone puked on the way home in my car, so I had to arrange to have it clean because you can't let that set. That scent or that smell set, so I had to make sure somebody was here. They're hosing everything down and it's getting detailed right now because I just can't. I can't do it. I can't. Tina, it's 85 there. That's perfection. It was like 95 here today
It's
and it was a lot. It
80
was a lot.
degrees here.
How about
I
it?
just want to go
80?
out 80.
Oh, that's perfect.
I
Perfect
know.
weather, right? Like
Great.
I couldn't ask for anything better. Perfect. 80 degrees.
I got a high of 55 tomorrow.
Oh, that's beautiful. Like I would love that. It's been so hot. Anyway, let's not get caught up on how hot it is in Florida because everybody knows that. I want to talk about this episode, right? Because we got some new information with Michael and Angela, right? And everybody has a pre conceived understanding of what they think was going on. So I want to get into this stuff with Angela and Michael because she found out about the appointment being switched from Nigeria to the Ivory Coast, which was a different country, right? And we were under the impression, and so was Angela, that the appointment was moved by the US Embassy due to backlog. But today, or not today, 2 days ago, yesterday we found out that Michael moved the appointment. And he didn't tell her. So she's been saying a lot online that, oh, it's not what Michael isn't who everyone thinks he is, right? That's what Angela keeps saying. So I'm like, do you think there is like a situation where Michael might have been scamming Angela for 7 years? Like, is this like a Pedro situation? Like, how do y'all feel? Because at first, everybody's been very sympathetic to Michael because they're like, oh my gosh, he earned that green card. He dealt with Angela. He dealt with the abuse. He dealt with all this for 7 years. But like, how do y'all feel? Do you think that he's been doing underhanded stuff behind her back this whole time? Do you
Yeah.
really, you think, really?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think so. I mean, look at Pedro's situation. Like, he did it for 7 years and had this gorgeous woman to deal with the whole time.
Right.
Poor Michael, I don't give a shit if you like him or not. He has earned his green card.
Well, yeah, that's what everybody is saying. They're saying, yeah, he might have had negative intentions, but he put in a lot of effort. 7 years of
Yeah.
effort, right? She came there and ripped the car apart, and she's like, oh, I bought the car, so it's mine. You don't really get to destroy people's property, right? Like in the US, we have strict laws about going over to somebody's house and destroying their property. Even if you help pay for it, if your name isn't on the title, it's not your property to destroy, right? And I feel like he put up with a lot. And after he got to the US, because we're watching this stuff before he actually got here, 60 days is all it took for him to disappear, right? Like he's gone. It was 60 days. hell, I want to say, like, the only one that took less time was probably Nicole and Mahmood, right? Like, it was really fast, right? Like, so I'm like, how do we feel about, is it okay that he scammed her? And I, this is a weird question, because it's like, some people have, there's two different point of views. Some people look at it as, he put in the work, he earned the green card, he deserves it. And then some people look at it as, the green card is contingent on being in love with the person and wanting to be with that person, so it's not his. Where do we land on this?
I don't think in the beginning he scammed her. I don't think so, not in the beginning. But after, I said this in the beginning, before, you know, she became worse once she had her surgery. She lost all the weight and she let it go to her head. So I think because he put up with her through all of this, after a while, yeah, he started scamming her. But I don't think so. Not in the beginning. I don't think so.
Do you think he really loved her, like, at all? Do you think there was ever a connection?
Maybe in the beginning, but after she started showing her true colors and treating him the way she treated him, I think he lost all love, and then he just kept his eyes on the prize.
I agree.
Really?
But I also want to say, look at how shitty she treated him in Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
Once he gets on her turf, I can only imagine that it's 15 times worse.
Well,
yeah.
Dee Dee, you made a good point, because Angela was a little easier to deal with before she had the surgery. And when she had the surgery, Angela turned into a queen, right? She refers to herself actually on all her lives and all her posts as queen. And, you know, she can't really be controlled now. Like, her ego is almost out of control. Like, she knows her worth. And there's nothing wrong with being confident, right? Being confident in yourself, but being confident.
There's a difference between being confident and being a bitch.
Right. Okay. So how do you feel about the fact that she wouldn't accompany him to the interview because she was mad at him? So she's like, we're not doing this together. You know, I don't care what happens, you know, and then she ended up sitting for 5 hours because she didn't know where the hell he was, because she couldn't get over the fact that he didn't tell. And don't get me wrong, it does get old when you find out information after the fact, when you should be the person who got the call first. Like, I always tell my best friend, I'm like, you know what? You're going to be the first person to get a call. And she's the same way with me. She's like, you're never going to learn something online. I'm going to call you first. I don't want you to ever feel that you're finding out with everyone else. And I get, and when you're in a relationship and then you're married, you need to always be the first point of contact. So if he did change the appointment, even though it might've seemed minimal, minuscule, right? In his opinion, it didn't really matter. He was moving the appointment up. So he might've looked at it as it doesn't really matter. And he didn't need to tell her. But I think when you're married, nothing is secret anymore, right? Like, everything needs to be.
But everything makes Angela mad. The way he walked, the way he dressed, the way he slept, the way he ate, the way he breathed. I mean, everything was a problem. But I think he did it in like with good intentions, but she flipped it around to be able, I mean, because she wanted to accuse him of doing something wrong. Me, myself, I don't see anything what he did wrong. I think, or I seen that he wanted to move it up because she's been griping and complaining, like, why is it taking him so long to get to the U.S.? Well, he found some one of the places that could take him before, so he moved the appointment. Why is that a problem? You want him in the U.S., so he does a good thing, and then that's a problem.
This happens to me all the time. Like, when I make a doctor's appointment or, hell, a DMV appointment, I do everything online. And then I'll get a random text sometimes that says, hey, we have an earlier appointment set up. Or if you can go to a different location. I have a doctor who has, like, locations all over the city. So they're like, if you could go to this location, we could move your appointment up 21 days earlier. This happens to me all the time. I don't tell anyone. Right. You know, it's something that I'm like, well, good. I don't have to wait as long. I can go get this done and get it over with. And maybe that was how he looked at it. It wasn't necessarily pertinent information, right? He was actually moving the date up.
Also, while we're talking about the abuse, once he got to America, you flip the script for a minute. If Michael was sitting here dressed in a whole ass Nigerian flag, waiting for her to get her visa and starts hitting on the waitress, drinking a beer, drinking several beers, smoking a cigarette, she would have lost her mind.
Yeah.
But he comes out profusely sweating, trying to explain himself. and she just continues to verbally abuse him. Yes. I can only imagine how he felt. Like, I just, once he got to America, life had to be a living hell.
Well, it's funny because he said that he made a comment. It wasn't this episode. It was like an episode or two ago. He was like, he was really nervous about adapting to life with her and her daughter and the grandkids. And I was like, man, that statement really did age horribly, because yeah. he really did need to be nervous about adapting to life here, because it was not easy. Right. Like, he got over here and we've heard so many different sides of what was going on, you know, not being able to leave, hidden passports. We've heard a lot of stuff. Right. And the way that she kept cutting him off, like, he was trying to explain to her what happened. Every time he would open his mouth, she cut him off and yell at him, cut him off and yell at him. She's like, well, before you talk, let me just tell you, I'm sick of you. And I'm just let the man talk, you know. And yeah. It's like, controlling behavior in relationships and marriages, I've noticed a power dynamic, especially on this season, right? Like, we're watching with, what's her name? Ashley and Manuel. Ashley has the money. She has the power. Gino has the money. He has the power. Angela has the money. She has the power. And I'm realizing that power dynamics are what are tearing people apart. Even a workable relationship that you could make work, you can't make work with that power dynamic. So, oh yeah. So I want to talk about this Jasmine and Gino thing, because we found out that Gino did not pay the fee for Jasmine to be entered into the pageant. And he said that it's because he doesn't have the money for that. He's focusing on her citizenship paperwork, which as an adult, I agree with him. But also from Jasmine's standpoint, you know, he quit his job when she got here knowing that he needed to take care of another human being. And I feel like it's hard because you don't always want to agree with Jasmine, but she's right. Like, you knew I was coming. You knew that there were going to be expenses. She made a comment on this episode that really made me think. She was like, I can't buy tampons without this man standing here to swipe his credit card. And I was like, how like degrading does that make a person feel, right?
Bullshit.
What do you mean?
First of all, she's got her OnlyFans, first of all. She's got her TLC money. So yeah, she's here under him. But you can't tell me she doesn't have her own money. First of all, and in this episode, he said she's getting back on her feet. Also, I looked up this pageant bullshit, and it's between $3,000 to $5,000. Okay.
Oh.
So if he paid that, then that's the money for the attorney for her kids. He'd never live that down. Like, this guy, he's a dumbass, but he can't win. No matter what he does.
Well, no, he's never going to win. No matter what he puts the money up for, there's always going to be something else.
But wouldn't it, why did she get so upset when he said that he'd rather take that money to put towards the lawyer for her children to come over here? Why did it make her even more mad? She would have been like, okay, well, I understand then. My children is more important, so I can put that to the side if it costs that much money. But what did she say? She pretty much said, the hell with the lawyer. She wants to be in the pageant. So what does that say? She don't want her kids over here.
Well, yeah, I understand what you're saying. Because if you said, hey, I didn't pay that bill because I sent the money to the lawyer, we're going to help get your kids here faster. A mother who claims as, you know, worried as she is about the situation, because she said it depressed her knowing she couldn't have her kids there. She should have reacted a little more positive. But I looked at it as, she was more so like, I want to have my cake and eat it too. I want you to bring my kids over here, and I want you to pay for the pageant, and I want you to do whatever else I ask you to do. You know, it's your responsibility. And at first I looked at it as she's asking a lot, but I have to go back and point out, Jasmine is living a very minimal lifestyle compared to the lifestyle she used to live. When she got to Michigan, she did cut back a lot on the things that she used to demand from Gino, right? Remember the $3,000 a month apartment, the $3,000 a month extensions. She spent like thousands of dollars on getting her nails done.
But
like,
the difference is she only has one guy here to impress. Over there, she had a bunch.
Yes. So, I mean, unless
this
she...
This whole new thing that she's throwing a fit about, the pageant, she's already been rewarded with her trip to Florida and her spa days and her nail days and everything she gets when she's depressed. So she doesn't have something new every episode. How's she going to be rewarded? So she had to think of something new because she needs her nails done or something. Needs new shoes.
So do you think that Gino should be working? Do you think that in the situation that they're in with a new wife, with two kids that she's trying to bring over? Because it clicked on me yesterday that he wasn't working because he's trying to get her pregnant. And I'm thinking, like, somebody...
The whole story, I mean, they've been on, what, 785 seasons of 90 Day Fiancé? So they've got TLC checks coming left and right. She's got OnlyFans and OnlyFeet and Only Everything. She's got
Dane.
And she's got Dane. So, like, she's got money. And so does he. So there has to be something to complain about for the episode. I can't even, like, I can't watch this and know and be like, oh my gosh, I'm so sad for these people because they can't afford to bring her children over and he should be working and this and this and this. No, you should pull up your damn big girl pants, pay for the only the attorney on your own with your OnlyFans money.
I think with Jasmine, she's living under the rule of my money is my money and your money is my money.
Yeah.
Right? Because you're right. I know that she does have an OnlyFans and I'm pretty sure it does really well, right? Like, I'm pretty sure that those butt implants were an investment. I'm pretty sure, you know, people are I don't know what she's selling on there, but people are buying, right? So yep. I think that she's under the impression that her money is her money and she shouldn't have to invest anything of hers into what's going on here, because Absolutely. The only reason why she's here is because Gino brought her here. So it's like your responsibility to get my kids or your responsibility to pay for the pageant, because she looks at it as, why should I spend my money when I can spend your money? You know? And I mean, I do think that him leaving his job when she got here was crazy. Like, I think I said that when we were watching the season live. I was like, that's crazy. She's super expensive, you know, as a woman. She demands a lot, you know, she needs to look a certain way. And, you know, it just was crazy to me because I always said, like, Gino is dating above his weight class. And when you're dating above your weight class, you have to make sure that you can make her happy, because there's always a guy who can make her happy. It doesn't necessarily have to be you, especially when she's above your weight class. She could always move to a different person.
But there's nobody that she can just, even though they're not together and we know that, there's nobody she can just get together with and appear on 90 Day Fiancé to keep getting these checks, because we all know that they're going to be on the last resort. We all know that.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like literally 87 seasons of them back to back to back to back to back to back. So one of the cast members, I'm not going to say any names because I don't know if they were supposed to say anything or not, but did a live like maybe 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. and said that, you know, if you Google it, it says that the cast members make between $1,000 and $1,500 an episode. And then this person also said that's like when you first start. If you're well liked and you're reoccurring, you make a lot more than that. So
not a lot more, but it's more than that.
Okay.
It's more than that.
So it's more than that times two.
Correct.
And you just keep adding it on top of each other. I mean, season after season after season, they're making a healthy chunk.
Yeah. At each season you do, your value, and you can demand more. Yeah. They're going to offer you the same thing. But
when you're dramatic.
Yes. You can ask for more. And since every time you do a season, your value goes up.
Yep.
So let's say they started at 1500. Jasmine might be at 3500 an episode at this point, because it continues to go up. And this is going to be, I think, their fourth season, right? That we're going to be watching on The Last Resort. Oh, I want to touch on this boyfriend thing, right? Because there's some stuff going around Instagram that she's with this trainer, right? And I'm wondering how real it is, because there's some drama online saying that he's a paid actor, because Shibuti went and found his LinkedIn and it says that he's a SAG actor. So
I think she's with someone else, but I don't think it's him.
So you think that she is not with Gino currently?
Yes.
But that guy, because the timeline for this guy is in December, January. Now, do you guys remember December, January, Jasmine was in Florida. In December, January, she was at Walt Disney World. She was in Miami. She was on the beach. She was doing a bunch of stuff in Florida. Because I remember I was at one of the parks. She was at one of the parks. And I reached out And ironically, we texted back and forth, and she said that she was out. She was here working, and she couldn't meet up with me. And now that I'm looking back at the timeline, she was posting a lot of pictures. She was doing a lot of things. She didn't look like she was working. I'm not going to defunct the fact that she wasn't working. I don't know that. But I know that she didn't want to meet up. She said that next time I'm in Florida, we'll hang out. And I'm thinking, maybe she was with the guy. She couldn't possibly be seen by people who know her from the show if she was with the guy, because she was literally in my backyard. And we text back and forth, and she kept making like excuses, like, oh, I can't meet up, I'm busy, I have a photo shoot, I'm working, this is a work trip. And then even her manager wrote me and was like, oh no, she's on a work trip, she definitely wants to meet up. Her and Nikki are gonna be in the area soon, and y'all will all get together. And now that I'm looking back at the timeline, she was definitely probably here with the guy, the trainer, because that was around
well,
the
time. Well, how do we even know that it's a guy? How do we know it's not a girl?
We don't, we just know she's not with Gino.
I mean, how long do you think she hasn't been with Gino? Okay, so we're speculating that she wasn't with Gino in December and January. Do you think that they ever got back together after that? Or do you think that they've been split up this whole time?
I think they've been split up for a long time. Do you remember, it was like well over a year ago, there was that picture going around the internet where Gino and Jasmine were fighting outside of a restaurant?
Yes,
and everyone was like, oh my gosh, this is, we know that they're going to be on an upcoming season. Then an entire another season aired before that season. And this season that's airing is that scene. That was out.
Right. They were outside. We did see that scene. You're right. They were outside. Wasn't that the scene?
Now, yeah.
Yeah.
Now they're going to be on The Last Resort. So obviously all this shit was filmed so long ago.
Yeah, you're right.
So she's had a long time to be out on her own.
This is really crazy, because now that at first I didn't believe any of it. And then when I started lining the timelines up, and I was like, I remember when she was literally in my city and she wouldn't meet up with me. And she was posting pictures, and I was like, somebody was taking these pictures. Because her manager wasn't here, because her manager was, I think, in, I don't know, Jersey, somewhere in California. And she was here working. But somebody was taking her picture at the castle, and somebody taking her picture at the beach. Somebody was her photographer, and I'm beginning to think it was whoever she was with at that time. But yeah, in your mind, it's probably not the same trainer. You think it might be somebody else by now.
I think so. I think it's more than one somebody, to be honest.
Really?
It's always more than one person, because we already know that Jasmine was banging a lot of people when she was in Panama.
Yeah.
She had a lot of sugar daddies.
Well, she wanted to stay in the building really close to one. Like, she needed direct access.
Down so he could be banging that head up against the headboard.
Every night, right? Because in my opinion, if I want to bang somebody, they don't have to live next door. She needed him. She needed direct access, right? There was all these different places that she could have lived. She needed him to be right on top of her, literally, right? Like, right on top of her.
She liked to have sex 7 times a day. I mean...
Yep.
He couldn't live somewhere different. He had to be a couple of doors down. So, I mean, all he had to do was walk over there and go back home.
Well, right. It was literally a walk down the hall, bang her up, and go back home and have a drink, right? And it's probably, and then repeat, rinse and repeat, right? Like, it's a process for her. It's just, I don't know. Now that I'm thinking back, it's very possible they're not together. I haven't seen them do anything together in a really long time. And at first I was writing it off as, oh, they're on the show together. They're not allowed to post together. We can't know. They haven't posted from the same place in so long. Like, have you noticed that Jasmine was in New York a week or two ago? Gino wasn't in New York. Like, they're never doing anything together. Like, we could piece their pictures together. Like, remember she was in New York for her birthday, and we saw pictures of Gino in New York. They just didn't post together. Like, we could piece them together.
I think she just stayed with him long enough for him to do the paperwork to get her green card, and she dipped on it.
Like Michael, right? Like, it just disappeared. I feel like that's what's going on.
So, I was trying to think. So, we saw them on, before the 90 days, that was the whole toothbrush incident, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And then we saw them on 90 Day. And then we saw them on Where Are They Now? And then we saw them on 90 Day Fiancé when they got married. And then we saw them on Happily Ever After. And now we're going to see them on Last Resort. And we see them on Diaries. These people, they're career actors. That's all it is. I mean,
Yeah.
They're not actual actors, but they're career TLC actors, and they just keep getting paid more and more and more. We know that she's lied about her sister being her kid. We know that she's lied about Dane. We know that she's lied and lied and lied. The difference is everything's falling into place. So I think after the last resort, we may see them again one more time, but I think it's all going to come out after that.
Well, yeah, I mean, they've used them to the point where I don't know where they could put them anymore. And if she's not with Gino and she's already dating someone else, that kind of blackballs you from the single life. They want to watch the dating process happen. Yep. And I feel like she's trying. Let's just say that. Yep. She's trying to keep what she's doing a secret. But again, we're sleuths, right? Like, we're FBI, CIA. If you're doing it, you're going out with this person, we're going to find it. We're going to see a picture. Yep. We're going to find out where you're at. Because, like, as of right now, we don't even know where she lives. Because some people are speculating she's living in Florida. Some people are speculating she's in Michigan, but just with another person. We're going to figure it out, Jasmine. Like, you can't hide. We know who you are. I've seen pictures of her shopping in Walmart. Somebody's going to see you. You know, and we're going to figure this out. It's only going to...
We know a lot of people. Me, George, and Cara know a lot of people who know a lot of people who know a lot of people, if you know what I mean.
The only thing that we know for sure is that you don't have your kids and you're off with someone else.
And you never wanted your children.
Kids, something popped up on this episode that I'm not sure that I knew specifically. Did we know that Riley was living in another country? Was I just not paying attention? I didn't realize that Riley was not in San Diego with her dad. She's in another country with her dad. That's crazy to me. Yeah,
I didn't know that.
How are you going to put your child in this day and time on an airplane by themselves?
Yep.
Are you serious?
My heart.
There was a story. This isn't recent. Maybe 6 months ago. Somebody put their kid on a plane in Tampa, and they were going back to Cleveland. And their kid ended up somewhere else. I want to say Colorado, right?
Yeah.
And it's terrifying to me that people put children on airplanes without anybody to make sure that they're going. Okay, so let me just say, I'm a grown adult man, right? I travel a lot. There have been times where I've gotten lost and ended up in the wrong wing of the airport because I made a wrong turn or I got on the wrong train or whatever. So the idea that people are putting their children on airplanes and just hoping they get to their destination is just fathom. It's beyond my fathom and imagination, right?
That's That's how I felt when Shekinah put her daughter on, but she was an older teenager. My heart sank when Liz let her daughter
on. Riley was like 11 at the time. Can you imagine? 11. When I was 11, I was barely able to order food by myself. I was so, like, timid. Okay, so like imagine getting on an airplane and going to different countries. And when you go to another country, you usually land and then refuel and get off the plane, get on another plane. So can you imagine connecting flights for an 11-year-old? How intimidating that is. It's intimidating for me and I'm grown. Okay, like sometimes when I have a layover or a connecting flight, I literally have to run, sprint, hike to get to the plane before it leaves me. Can you imagine an 11-year-old trying to figure out?
No freaking way. If the father could not come and pick up my child, I would fly with my child. Well, in my case, I would drive them as far as I could in the car because I don't get in the airplane, but at least meet them somewhere. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I'm going to point this out. I watched Darcy and Stacy's season, and when Annika went away to college, Darcy and Stacy flew all the way there, brought her to her room, helped her unpack, and then flew all the way home. So say whatever you want about Darcy and Stacy. Darcy's a good mom. She got on the airplane, and Annika was 18. She got on the plane. She went to see where she was leaving her baby, made sure that she was in her room. She was checked in. She even met the roommate and the roommate's mom. Then her and Stacy got back on the plane and went back home. And I thought that that was really respectable because a lot of people want to come for Darcy. It's like plastic surgery is different from parenting. I always thought Darcy was a good mom.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to ever come for Darcy on her parenting. She went and she showed up for her kids. And I respect that.
I mean, this poor Riley, this girl has already been traumatized enough by having to live with Big Ed. And then you put her on a plane by herself. That's just horrible.
She's really going to be a tough girl, right? Like, and it reminded me, like you said, of Shekinah's daughter. Because Shekinah's daughter has way more sense than Shekinah. It's because the life that she lived and how she was raised, that girl is going to make amazing decisions. She's going to turn out very successful. because of the lack of support and parenting that she got. Oh, so I want to talk about John heading over to Brazil. So he never booked a reservation at a hotel. He just assumed that he was going to stay with Patrick and Thais on Thais's birthday. But another thing that was weird to me, they're supposed to be family, and he didn't know when Thais's birthday was. So he was showing up, and Patrick is like, you know, it's her birthday. And he's like, is it? And I'm like, I get that Thais and John, the storyline is they hate each other. Do you think they really do hate each other? I kind of feel like they really do don't like each other. You know, you never can tell on the show, but sometimes I feel like when the way that Thais side-eyes him, she really don't like him. It's not just a joke. Yeah, I feel that way.
I don't think he likes him. I really think she doesn't like him. I mean, John's a handful, and he's always, he sits there and he talks about Patrick's dad trying to freeload. Well, he's the same way. He's a freeloader as well.
I noticed that. Yeah. I noticed that too. Cause I was like, it's funny how you're coming after his dad. And don't get me wrong, Patrick's dad, he is taking full on advantage of Patrick. Yeah. Because the one thing that I thought about, I was like, see, when I was growing up, my dad wasn't around. He had a bunch of families. So I was like, I would have given anything for that attention. And he's taking full advantage of the fact that Patrick is looking for that attention. And he's using it as, do you want to paint my house? Do you want to redo my floors? Do you want to do my lawn at the ranch? And I was like, I don't like the idea of him taking full on advantage of somebody. Like, because he needed a father, but you're using him as, I don't know, farmhand help. You know, you want to get what you can.
Also, I feel like so much came out during this episode. I mean, we knew in the beginning that Patrick and his dad weren't close or didn't have a close relationship until more recently. But then John just kind of comes in and spills the beans. He's like, he's been a shit father, you know, to all of us. He wasn't a good person. And now Patrick's his bread and butter. He not only gets all his money from Patrick, but he makes Patrick do all this work. And so that really shed a light on things. So I totally get Thais's frustration now.
Well yeah, because you know, Thais, she's, I hate to say this, but she complains a lot on most situations, right? She complains. So when people complain a lot, it kind of goes over your head because you're like, well, you're never happy. You know, like, I don't know if you're really upset or if this situation really sucks or it just sucks because you're in it. You know, like, you can't tell. Yeah. But I think that Thais and John can bond over exposing Patrick's dad for who he really is, you know, and I feel like somebody needs to look out for him, because I think that he really wants that bond with his dad, and I hate to say it, it's too late. Like, those bonds are built as you grow up. You know, it's not something that you can go, you know, at 43 years old and build that bond with your dad that you didn't have as a child. It's unfortunate, but, you know, that's something that comes with years and years of bonding together, and it's like, his dad sees him as, well, the son that I ignored all these years, look at how successful he is. Look at what he can do for me. And now he's showcasing interest in him. That is a trigger for me too. Because it's like, you needed to be a good father to him when he needed to be a father. And don't act like you want to care now, because he is very successful. He's a television star and he can do all these things for you. He can help bring money into you. He's working on an apartment for you. He's paying you rent for an apartment. Why is he charging him rent? Like, there's so many questions that just trigger me about this relationship. And I know that Patrick will never see it, you know? And I think John and Thais being there, it's gonna blow up, but that's kind of what we signed up for. That's what we want. We want somebody to get into something with somebody. So I'm hoping at some point, John is gonna tell him how he feels, because, you know, John and Patrick have different dads, but John was like, my dad was better to me than your dad, and my dad was horrible. He was like, you really need to see. He was like, my dad didn't take me to baseball games, but neither did yours. Like, what do you, like, the comparison between the two. But I think that some people are more forgiving than others, because, you know, I have siblings that forgave and they tried to build relationships with our parents or whatever, and it didn't work, but they gave more of a college try than I did. You know, I was like, well, I'm not going to go and try to build anything. That's your job. You're the one that screwed it up, so you need to come to me. So I was less forgiving, and I think Patrick is more forgiving. He's like, well, I'll give him a shot. He was like, he's my family. And John was like, well, sometimes family sucks. And that is, like, the truest statement, right? Like, I have some family that sucks. Like, of all the people, I have strangers that I met that treat me better than my family have ever treated me. So it's like, I get blood and, you know, it's supposed to be thicker than water, but that is BS. Sometimes people you meet on the street are more of your family than you will ever have sharing the bloodline with the people that you were born into. Sometimes I ask myself all the time, I was like, am I an alien? Like, who are these people? Like, I will go to family events and I'm like, I don't belong here. Who are these people? Was I adopted? But I can't even believe that because I look identical to my mom. So it's like, but how did I get here? Right? Like, was I like incarnated like through alien intervention? Like, what's going on? I don't know these people.
Right. Yeah, families, you can pick your friends, but you can't pick your family.
Right?
Exactly.
That's completely.
Unfortunately. So I want to talk about witch potions because Ashley went to get an IV, which she calls a witch potion, which her friend had to correct her on TV. Like, this is strictly medical. It's an IV.
It's vitamins, you dumbass.
Right? Like, please don't have that on TV that I'm giving people witch potions so you'll get my license taken away. Can we not? Because you're not even a witch. Like, can we not? Like, that's not what this is. So we were watching her situation with Manuel. Apparently he walked in and he was like, I need money for my family. Thank you. And walked away. And then she gave him $1,000. Right? So she said that she's given him thousands of dollars since he's been there for his family. So what my question is, if y'all were in a relationship with a guy who's from another country, would you, question one, would you send money to his family if he requested it? And if yes, how much is too much? Like, how much is the right amount and how much is too much?
I mean, it depends if you're in a dumbass relationship like they are. No, I wouldn't send a dime. But if it was a different situation, I guess it just depends. The relationship would depend on whether or not I help the family.
Didi, how do you feel? Would you not send any money?
No.
Because I know you were raised in another country, right? So it's very possible that you could date someone from another country. Would you feel it's your responsibility in any way to send anything to their family? No? Really?
No. No, because I know how the families are over there. Whenever their children come over here, they take advantage of them. So, and I know how they are. Now let me rephrase that. Now, if they really, really needed it, they would have to prove to me why they need it. Because
they would need to send you bills or research.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So no blindfold sending money.
No, it's not my responsibility. It's not my responsibility. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. So that when I said depending on the situation,
mm-hmm.
Now if I've been in Ashley and Manuel type situation where I don't even know if he has family in Ecuador, for all I know, they live right down the road from me.
Right.
You
know? I know, right?
I have no idea. But if I was in a situation like dumbass and Johan, I would say I've seen their home. I've seen what they need. And I would probably purchase items for them rather than send them money, if that makes sense.
Kind of like when Pedro would come to visit his family, he would bring flat screen TVs. He would bring purses. Remember, he would bring stuff for his family. At least he knew what was happening with the money. Because I think the real issue is that Ashley's known him for 10 years. She's never met this family. She doesn't know his kids. She doesn't know what's going on because her cousin made a good point. She was like, what if he's taking all the money you're giving him and he's putting it in an account to leave you? Like, what
That's
if you're...
That's probably what he's doing.
Right?
You're That's fun- probably what he's doing.
She could be funding his escape route to leave her and she doesn't know. And I think it's crazy to me that she's so scared to ask questions to the man that she married. Why do you marry somebody that you can't have a conversation with? Because she's like, well, I'm scared that if I ask him, then he's going to be distant. You should have the ability to have a conversation.
But she's a witch.
Well, right.
But she's a witch.
Couldn't she just give him some sort of potion and make him cooperate? Isn't that what witches do? Like, couldn't she just put something in his food and then he's going to start opening up and telling her all of his business? Like, I am so confused. That's like calling a psychic. And then the psychic is like, oh, well, I don't know. I'm not sure. I'll have to get back to you. Like, you're a psychic. I'm asking you because you know the future. Yep. You should already know what he's... First of all, she should have already known not to marry him before she even went over there to meet him, because she's a psychic. Right?
Look, and she wouldn't even have to be, she wouldn't even have to be a witch, okay? It's all she has to do is give him agua de calzón, and then that right there will have him, like, in the palm of her hand. That's all she's got to do. So, and agua de calzón is panty water, if you know what I mean.
And you put it in the drink, right? In the food. I've heard of this. You know, I'm from Louisiana.
You have sex with your partner. You don't clean down there. It's, you know, you clean down there with your panties, and then whatever they want to drink, like their coffee, water, tea, you put it in there and you let it soak, and then you give it to them to drink.
I've heard of that. And because, you know, when I grew up,
it's real.
There was voodoo. And I've heard that women were doing that, right? Can't. I've heard of it.
I'm broken.
You didn't.
I am.
No,
I
mean, Cara,
it's true. I mean, it's true. It sounds gross, but a lot of Hispanic women, like when they want to like control their man, or they want their man only for them, that's what they do.
I'm not saying that's not true. I'm saying I'm broken.
Oh well, yeah, it's just. Disgusting, and it's horrible that is going on, but it's happening. Oh, post nump. So she wants to get a post nump, which I think is really ironic because she has $100,000 worth of debt. So what is she protecting with the post nump, right? Because what does she have specifically that he could take? She lives in an apartment, well, a rental. I don't know that she owns anything, and then she owes creditors $100,000. What is she like? I don't know what she wants to protect. She should just stop giving him money, right? Like what is?
Nothing for him to take.
If she was getting to protect that $150,000 or that $100,000 debt she's got going on. That's what she needs to protect.
If anything, her marrying him takes half of her debt away. This is a win for Ashley, in my opinion, right?
Yeah.
Because if he tries to leave her, he walks away with what? What is that? $75,000 worth of her debt? She's coming out $75,000 lighter, right? Like, I feel like that's perfection. Like, she should leave the post up alone. Just let it stay how it is, because what is he really going to take from her? She doesn't have anything.
Yep.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's sick.
Well, she's sick. Want to do it because she thinks that if they separate, that she will no longer be responsible for him for 10 years. She's wrong. Yeah. A post-nop and a green card, getting someone a green card, that has nothing to do with each other. She's still going to be responsible for him for 10 years.
Yeah, and let's be real.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I think that's why she's wanting the post-nup, because she's thinking that that takes her responsibility off.
Oh, no. Well, that doesn't surprise me, because she's so uninformed on everything. That doesn't surprise me at all. Yeah, those are two separate things, and that pertains only to their marriage and what was obtained during the marriage. It has nothing to do with the fact that he's going to stay over here. He's probably never going to get a job. Like, he looks at this as he won the lottery.
Yeah.
You can tell the way he walks around, and she was trying to talk to him, and he wouldn't even finish talking. He's like, let me finish eating this food. It's just so good. This food that you're paying for. It's like, I don't want to hear what you have to say. Let me just finish eating this food. Like this, he's walking around like he owned life. So I guarantee you, when he leaves her, he's not going to work. He's going to make sure that she's sending money to him, because that's what he has her doing for his family or whoever. Yeah. We don't know why. I mean, honestly, we don't know where that money
is. His wife right now. On the road that he gets on the FaceTime with and says is his aunt.
Yep.
You know that is what is going on. Oh, so the bride price, it was 1,000 francs, which was $1.89. So I wanted to go over this bride price, because I was under the impression that they were gonna, I assume like $500, right? You don't want to break the family, but you also want to have it to be like, are you able to take care of my daughter? So what did you guys think about the bride price asking for like $2? Was that like a slap in the face to the family saying, I know you don't have a lot of money? Or like, I don't know. I thought that it should have been at least like $250, $500 just to show, and then maybe give it back like as a gift on your way out.
I think her dad said it best when he said, I don't know if the family has a lot of money. I don't want to be over greedy. This is the first time I've ever done something like this. It's the first time I've ever, you know, dealt with anything. I think they went about it right.
So would you have asked for like the same thing, like a couple bucks, like nothing serious?
I
Heck no. I mean, if they were insisting, I would ask them for $1 million. Well, all right, you want to take care of my kid? Give me $1 million.
Well, they weren't
going to
have
$1 million. Then you can show me you can take care of my kid.
So,
yeah.
The property.
I mean, I agree with that, but at the same time, I agree with the level of uncomfortability that they had.
Yeah.
You could see they were just like, you know, they were kind of walking on eggshells because obviously they don't want to piss off Emily and Kobe. They don't want to be disrespectful, but yet they're trying to follow the rules. So they were just walking a very fine line. I think her parents handled it wonderfully.
I mean,
in my opinion.
They showed the, it was like a couple of Cameroonian traditional shirts. It was some sort of oil. Like, I thought it was interesting. You know, I was like, I get that it's more symbolic than, you know, they're not purchasing Emily or whatever. It's a more symbolic thing.
Well, like they wanted the goats so that they could give them back, so that they could keep
right,
them, you know.
Which I thought was really good. I was like, anything you ask for, leave for them to give back to the family, because this is a symbolic thing. You're not really selling anybody. You're not really exchanging. I did like the aspect of it where it was two families combining into one.
Yeah.
I really wish they would have focused on that more than buying and selling of people. Because I was like, I like that they're taking on, especially a white girl at that, they're like, we're opening up our family. We're opening up our home for her. If anything was to happen to her, she is a part of us. And I really thought that that was a beautiful aspect of this situation, because, you know, in some countries, based on how people look, they just won't accept you. And I just love the fact that they were so willing to openly take on someone who didn't look like them, who they didn't necessarily like at first, and they were just so open to saying, she's a part of our family, she will be literally buried with our family, like she's part of us. I thought it was a really beautiful cultural tradition, right? Like, but they, of course, TLC wanted to focus on purchasing and property and buying and selling, you know, there has to be drama. But I thought that production was playing on that. I feel like they downplayed that it was a really nice situation that it was, because I know people.
Because TLC's freaking production knew that Emily was going to ask to meet the ex-girlfriend for literally no freaking reason.
Well, no, there's no reason at all. But did you notice when he went to text her, he only scrolled down 3 spaces? So that means that he's been texting her this whole time. So
he
I was like,
he texts her often. He said that.
Is that weird?
I mean, yeah. That's it's very
weird. Let me be with somebody and they text in their ex. It'll be the first and last time.
That's what I was thinking. He's been married 2.5 years. He has 3 kids. What does he really have to say to his ex-girlfriend? What conversation? I don't know. Like, and I'm big on not telling people who they can and can't have as friends or whatever. But I also think that if you're in a new relationship, and this was the very last person you dated, right? Like, this isn't like ex from when you were in third grade. This is the ex right before you were with your wife. Like, I don't know. It's just, it makes you scratch your back of your head a little bit. Like, what are y'all still talking about? Do you want to get back together? Did, you know, the situation happen where you couldn't be together, but you would rather be with that person? It makes you just wonder, what's the conversation like? I don't really talk to exes like that. You know, like, we're not texting every day. They're not the third one down on my phone. Like, if they are in my phone, they're like 26, 27, 28 spaces down. Like, we don't talk regularly, right?
I mean, she was probably the third one down because he said, hey, me and my wife are coming to Cameroon to film part 933 of our season. And they're going to set it up so I can talk to you. And I'll let you know when we get there. And that was probably the text. So she was fresh in the phone.
Oh, and don't forget, it's good money. It's all you got to do.
Well,
be on there a couple of minutes and you get $1,000.
She will get a decent amount. Like, maybe he was just looking out for her. Like, hey, it didn't work out, but we're going to be there. And they would like for you to appear. This is some easy cash. Like, maybe he was looking out
If you could just make up some bullshit that I didn't cheat on you so I don't have to sleep with my phone in my ass, that would be great.
I mean, it is what it is. I'm going to watch the scene between the two of them. Obviously, it's not. We know that Kobe's not a dirtbag, right? Like, I've been watching Kobe long enough to know he's not a dirtbag. He hasn't been, like, talking up to.
I don't. I don't know. There's something about Colby, guys. I don't know what it is, but there's something about Colby. Ever since I met him on the very first season that he came on, what was it, Love in Paradise, the first season? I mean, the first time that he was on TLC. Yeah. There's something about him. I don't know what it is. I haven't figured it out yet, but there is something about Colby. There's something about him. I don't know.
I like him. I do too, but...
I didn't say I don't like him. I just said there's something about him that is not... Something's off. Something is off. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I'll take a mental note, because how many times have you guys been right about something? You called it far in advance. So we'll take a mental note, and if something does come up, we'll make sure that we remember that you said it first, right? Because this has happened many times. I can't pretend that y'all have not predicted things that we have seen come true. It's like y'all are the Illuminati. Like, you just be predicting stuff ahead of time. And I'm like, how did you know that? I didn't know that. I thought they were cool. You just be figuring stuff out. So we'll listen to you. No, Tina, Colby wasn't on Love in Paradise. He was he debuted on 90 Day Fiancé, the OG season. OG season. He never won on Love in Paradise. No, because he's from Cameroon. No. He was in on Love in Paradise. But yeah. Oh, so real quick. Ed and Liz were on there. Don't care. And also, Lauren was complaining about her surgery, which I also don't care. So if you guys have anything to add, you know, that's fine. But I didn't care.
See, there's no way she had surgery when they filmed. There is no freaking way. She had nothing on her chin. She was eating perfectly fine. She had nothing on her arms.
Sitting on her ass. All the things that were worked on, she's fine.
Yeah.
There is no way. I mean, because when you have what do you call them things? A BBL, you can't even sit on your butt. You have to lay on your stomach or your side.
You surely can't eat.
Look at Jasmine. What happened to her ass? Because she sat on it. It don't look like she had a BBL.
It looks upside down, actually. Doesn't it? It looks upside down.
You know what I'm saying? There is no way Lauren had surgery. There's no way. Maybe it happened before they filmed or after. I don't know, but there is no way she had it during. No. There is no way possible. No way possible. And then she's eating within a couple of days, like real food. You cannot do that. You can't.
She was eating the same day. She ordered her food in the freaking hospital.
The same day, yeah. It showed up while she was full.
You cannot do that. You cannot do that. No, you have to be on a liquid diet for 30 days. Liquid only. That's it.
Well, she is definitely a complainer, right? Like I wanted to fast forward through her scenes, because she's just like, oh, my mom's judging me. And I'm like, she judged you before you got the surgery. She told you not to do it. And you know, she's like, a little bit. It did bother me when the kids came to see her, and I was like, why do you want the kids to see you like that? You look bad. You look terrible. Like, I don't know. I feel like children remember certain things, and I feel like seeing her looking so frail and bad isn't necessarily a good thing on a child. Children have a lot of...
And then you're going to cry when you see them. So,
right. I was like, at least wait until you're walking and you're out of your muumuu gown so the kids don't feel traumatized, you know, because they didn't ask for this. They don't want their mom... They don't ever want to see their mom looking the way that you were looking. So it was weird to me that she wanted to see them while she looked, you know, terrible, you know? And I'm not saying that it's wrong for her to have done that. I don't know. She's a mom. She can make those decisions. But I don't know. I didn't think that the kids should see her looking that way, you know, because she's not ill with anything that's terminal. She's going to get better. So why put the kids through that? Kids have a lot of emotions that they don't know how to understand or deal with because they're so young. So why put them through that?
Well, apparently TLC didn't do their homework on whenever you get liposuction, tummy tuck, and breast job, and a BBL, and whatever else. I'm like, supposedly some fat taken off her arm and all this other stuff. Apparently they didn't do their homework on it, because there is no way she's going to be walking around, moving her arms the way she does, because having a surgery like that is very painful. There's no way possible when she gets up that she's going to eat toast from Waffle House when she comes out of anesthesia. There's no way possible that she's going to not have something because they took, was it fat from here and put somewhere else? I mean, there's nothing there, not even a scar, nothing. No bruise, no nothing.
She was good.
So she had it before or after they filmed?
I think she had it because her double chin was gone. But I think that they showed up at the procedure and then they didn't show up for a few weeks. And I think that they wanted to make it look like she was still in recovery. I mean, she was still in recovery. But, you know, in a few weeks into recovery, you're doing a lot better than a few days into recovery. And I think that, I don't know, maybe production was lazy. They didn't want to film the whole thing. They didn't want to be out. Or maybe they had to be at another location to film. I don't know what the situation was, but anyway, we're gonna wrap up and we're gonna come back tomorrow, guys, because I watched MILF Manor yesterday and there's new guys. Connor and David are there. So we're gonna talk about MILF Manor, and Jacob didn't leave. So yeah, we got a lot to talk about with that. And then we're gonna, I gotta watch Love in Paradise that came on tonight. So we're gonna do those two shows tomorrow. And I'll let you guys know a time. And thanks for staying up late with us and on your holiday, on Memorial Day as well, for checking in with us today. Thanks to my co-hosts, Cara and Didi. Make sure you're following both of them. They're tagged in this video. And again, make sure you tune in to see us tomorrow night. We're going to talk MILF Manor and Love in Paradise. There's some new developments that we're going to get into, too, about some age stuff with Medellin. So we're going to get into that. It's going to be really interesting. So thank you guys for joining us. Make sure you follow me on all social media platforms at George Massey, georgemassey.com. Anywhere you get your podcast, type in the George Massey Show. Oh, thank you guys for streaming as well. We were trending in the United States last week, which is really nice. Right. We're usually trending in other countries. Thanks for showing us some love right here in the USA. Everybody have a wonderful night, and we'll talk to all you tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye.